I'm ready.
I'll count you down. 3, 2, 1.
All right, we'd like to welcome everyone to Landmark Baptist Church on this last midweek service of July. This July the 31st, 2024. Just seemed like this year just flew by. Got a lot of storm in our area, a lot of storm going to be coming this week. I know it's going to hit pretty rough tonight, later tonight, and all through the week, according to what they say. But you know one thing? The Lord's bigger than the storm. And they had a storm in a boat one time, and Jesus back there sleeping. I think the reason he was sleeping was he just wanted to see what they'd do when the storm came. And they went and woke him up and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. And there was a great calm, which actually pictures salvation. But in that, they saw that there was more to him than meets the eye. And we need to see that too. We've got, you know, I was thinking even on the way up here to church tonight, the book of Malachi, God said, "Try me and prove me." And I was thinking about that as I was crossing over I-65. God wants us to try Him and prove Him. He said, "And see if I won't pour out a blessing that the room cannot contain." You know, there's no restraint with God. Nothing's impossible with God. And I think about the only time we ever involve God is when it's a crisis or something we can't handle. But don't forget, God's here. And He's here for you. If you're saved, He's your good shepherd. You're one of His sheep. And He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He watches over us while we sleep. So just take everything to Jesus and lay it at His feet. He'll help you with it. We'll have a word of prayer here. Brother Patrick's going to sing here in just a minute. I had a heads up last night in an email. A little two-year-old fell in a swimming pool. And they were requesting prayer for that little two-year-old. They said the pupils of the eyes are working, but it's not, you know, it's just kind of in a coma-like, you know, but there's still hope for that little baby, so we're going to have a word of prayer for that little two-year-old baby. And there's a lot of COVID going around right now. It's running rampant in the churches. And in the hospitals, we went to the doctor today and I asked him. He said, "Yeah, they've had several encounters with it." So we'll pray about that. And we'll have our lesson tonight. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day, Lord, You've given us, Lord, to enjoy. And Lord, we thank You, Father, Lord, for the rain that's coming tonight. I pray, Lord, there won't be no storm. I pray, Lord, it just be rain. And Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, for that little two-year-old. I pray, dear God, Lord, You would visit that little two-year-old father. Lord, You visited the daughter of Jairus. And Lord, even though she is dead and they all done give up, Lord, You raised her back to life and gave her to her parents. And we pray for that little two-year-old, Lord, that Lord, You'd restore that little two-year-old to her parents or his parents. I don't know if it told whether it was a boy or a girl, just a little two-year-old child. We pray for it, Lord. And Father, I pray for these that are already, Lord, battling COVID. Lord, I pray, Lord God, You'd help us, Lord, through that. I know it's election year, and we understand, Lord, they're trying to cause trouble, Lord, in the voting aspect this year. And Lord, we know, I think, Lord, COVID's one of the things, Lord, they throwed upon the public and overacted when they did. But Lord, help us through this situation about this COVID. Bless Your churches, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, for Sister Tammy Tibbs. We pray for her, Lord. She's having chronic, Lord, pain. Lord, pray for Mark and Kay Hurt. Pray, Lord, Father, for Judy and Geraldine. Pray, Father God, Lord, for James and Patty Madison, their daughter. Lord, Marilyn, pray for Jarvis and her son, Rick. Lord, we pray for Brother Mitchell. He wasn't here last Sunday. And, Lord, I know he's been having some health issues. We pray for Brother Mitchell. Pray for Phyllis, Lord, in terrible health. Pray for her, Lord. Pray for her sister, got cancer. Lord, we pray for her. Pray for Bruce, got cancer, Father. Pray for the upcoming wedding, Lord, between Brother Patrick and Sarah. Pray You bless upon that, Father. Oh, Lord, we pray, Lord God, for all those, Lord, in the church, Lord, that's getting frail, getting feeble. Pray for Sister Sharon, our piano player, Sharon Wheeler. She's just praying, Lord, that her health get better. And, Lord, I know you can do it. I pray you will. Pray your visitor healing your wings. Pray for Sybil. Pray, dear Father, Lord, for all those, Lord, struggling with their health in the church. Pray for Sister Faye. Lord, bless, I pray. And Lord, help our country. Help these elections coming up, Lord. We'd like to see the one, Lord, that you want, Lord, in the White House. We'd like to see the one elected, Lord, that you want in the Oval Office. And Lord, I know you set up and I know you take down. And I pray, Lord God, you'd help us in this election this year. And Lord, bless our schools. Help them teach children right things. Get that garbage out of our schools, Lord. They don't need to be taught gender confusion. They don't need to be taught anything about that. They need to be taught reading, writing, arithmetic. Bless our children, Lord. Keep them safe. And I pray for them down in the Philippines. Lord, Brother Rue down there. Lord, that tornado came by, Lord, flooded the Philippines. We pray for them. I pray for them, Father, down there. And I pray, dear God, Lord, for them down there in Haiti. Also, Lord, got a turmoil, got an uprising, Lord. And, Lord, there's another place, I can't remember the name of it, but, Lord, it tore it up real bad, got fires in California. Just a lot of stuff going on right now. Help with all that, Lord, and bless this service, dear Father God, tonight. Thank you for those listening in. We give you praise and glory. Ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, Brother Patrick. I forgot that guy about the son. You say a prayer for him if you want to.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine. He's coming into work a lot. His son died last night. He's lost his wife 6 months ago. He's just having a hard time, so I'm going to sing this song for him. Lord, just be with him and his family,
yes,
as they go through these dire times, and let no harm come to the rest of them, and keep his heart strong, keep his mind strong, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And keep his spirit strong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Be with him.
So I'm going to sing this song for his family.
Bless you, Brother Patrick.
All my burdens
behind me.
Glory!
I have prayed my final prayer. Don't you cry over my body. Cause that ain't even me lying there.
Bless you, Lord.
I am staying
song. Me and Brother Patrick were just talking about one day we're going to lay these lives down, and we're just going to go so far in this life, and some people that's far as they're going to go, but others there's another life when these steps stop down here. There's another path that we'll get on, and it'll never end. And I'm glad the promises of God and Him are yea and amen. I mean, they're sure promises. When God makes a promise, it's not like me making a promise. The Bible says when he couldn't swear but no greater, he swore by his own name to Abraham that he'd be so, and it was so. And I'm glad for the promises of God. The Bible says in the book of Peter, given us exceeding great precious promises. Most people don't even know what they are. One of them is, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, Lord, I'm with you always, even in the world. While Brother Patrick was singing that song, I want to have another quick prayer. I thought about the Neelands singing group, good singing group, was going to do some kind of cruise. I think it was in Alaska. I don't know. It was going to be with the Gaithers, going to go on a cruise. 8 people on an airplane. Something went wrong. That's just the way life is. Sometimes something goes wrong. All 8 of them died. There was 4 people in the group. Only one of them's alive. And the only reason she's alive because she couldn't go. Well, a quick prayer for them. I thought about a couple others while he was singing. Sister Joanne Smith, she's probably out there listening right now. She'd be here if she could. We want to send prayer her way. And there's a few more there. Brother Eric. He got feeling kind of bad last Sunday, and I noticed he shouted, and after he shouted, I think he wasn't feeling good. We're going to pray for Brother Eric. Father, we pray, Lord, Father, Brother Eric, Lord, help him with his health. Sometimes he's dizzy, and sometimes, Lord, he just don't feel good. We pray, Lord, Father, for Rita. I'm not sure. I know she said she was going somewhere, but Lord, bless her. Be with her. Lord, pray for Sister Joanne Smith. Lord, send blessings her way, Father. And Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for the Neelums. Lord, a tremendous singing group. And Lord, they were on an airplane, eight of them on that airplane, and something went wrong. All eight of them died. And Lord, we want to pray for that man, Brother Patrick Wordsworth. Lord, we know your word says you're the God of all comfort. We know your word says that you come to us. You said in John chapter 14, verse 18, you said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And Lord, I know you've comforted these people. Help them, Lord. Difficult steps will be made, Lord, here coming up, Lord. Be an empty seat. Be a, Lord, a hole in a heart. Be some heavy, Lord, emotions. We pray for that man. And I pray for the Neelam family that's left behind. Those that have gone on, Lord. We know Paul said part be of Christ far better. We can't understand that down here. But one day we'll understand what far better means. And I pray for them, Lord. Pray for Brother Eric. I pray for Sister Joanne. Pray for those even tonight, Lord. Something going on right now somewhere. We'll be with them. And help, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, we'll take our text tonight out of Genesis chapter 4. We've been teaching a series on underestimating God. And the Bible's full. I was going to preach it. And I realized there was so much territory that it would take forever. So I decided I'd teach it on Wednesday nights. And a lot of people underestimated God. The first one we used was the devil. Underestimated God. Got thrown out of heaven. And then we talked about Adam last Wednesday. Underestimated God. Lost his garden home. He was there in the garden. God had put him there to till the garden and attend it. Lost his home. Lost his standing with God. And tonight we're going to talk about Cain. Their firstborn. Here in Genesis chapter 4. It says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. Now this same sex nonsense going on out there, there's no conception. They have to adopt. We got this Buttigieg, whatever his name is. He married some kind of guy and they went and adopted, I think, two children. He took maternity leave. That's a nonsense going on today. I mean, that's just nonsense. Insane nonsense. Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now she knew where that baby came from. You don't get them Amazon. Walmart quit carrying them. She said, I got a man from the Lord. And she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now these boys is different. Cain's a little older than Abel. I don't know how much older. They lived a long time back then. And the reason they lived a long time back then is earth had to be populated. It started out with one. Then it went with two and kept going. And they lived a long time because to populate the world they need to live longer. Now we've got the world about overpopulated. Man's trying to do God's work. Man thinks he's going to fix that problem. And that's one of the reasons COVID came around, was they're trying to depopulate the world, global warming threats and all that. And that's, again, it's nonsense. When I say it's nonsense, Genesis chapter 8 tells us plainly, that's nothing but a lie. Global warming is nothing but a lie. After the flood of Noah's day, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, God says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Take that, put it in your pipe and smoke it. All you global warming idiots out there, all of you that don't know no better, don't know enough Bible, know no better. God put it there in His Word. You ain't got to worry about the New Green Deal. You ain't got to worry about going electric cars. You ain't got to worry about the ozone layer up there. Let me tell you something about that ozone layer. They had a big deal. Don't use no hairspray destroying the ozone layer. Every time they go in outer space, they're punching a hole in that ozone. Never hear a word about that, do you? I mean, you send that big fiery space shuttle or that big fiery space rocket through that ozone, blows a big old hole out of that ozone. They never said a word about that. I'm just telling you, don't get played like a cheap fiddle. Pay attention. Read your Bible. Pay attention to what's going on. The difference in these two boys. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Ain't this something? You know, you can have children, and every one of them different. You know, it's just kind of unique. One of them will be a tool dye maker. Other than to be a farmer. Other than to be a mechanic. Other than to be a carpenter. I mean, just it's unbelievable how much difference there is in children. And each one of them need to be nurtured. That needs to be brought out, developed. They've got it in them. You just got to find out what they're good at and help them with it. Amen. It says here, verse 3, in the process of time, now everybody's always saying, where did Cain get his wife? Well, you tell me how long the process of time is. That could have been 300 years. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. He brought an offering to the Lord. Only problem is that wasn't what God had asked for. Now there's a reason Abel brought this firstling of the flock. Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now in this, what we've read here, five verses here, you see the difference in these two boys. You see the difference in these two offerings. And Cain's bad. It kind of pictures religion. You know, my way is just as good as your way. Well, God showed which one that He accepted. He accepted the offering of Abel. And the reason He accepted it is because it had a blood sacrifice. Now, that started in the last chapter, verse 21. And unto Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. That's where that blood sacrifice was introduced right there. Too innocent. And according to Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 22, lambs are for thy clothing. According to that, it's probably two lambs that had to die for the sins of Adam and Eve, and the fig leaves couldn't cover the sin. But this blood here, and God shed the blood of two little lambs picturing Christ, and the Lord made coats of skins and clothed them. He clothed me with His righteousness, and that's why I'm saved today. The blood of His Son Jesus cleansed us from all sin. Paul said, being found in Him, not having my own righteousness without the law, but the righteousness of Christ imputed. He put clothing on me over my sin. Well, here, like I said, this kind of pictures religion. God's only going to accept one, the blood. He told them in Exodus 12, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. Without the blood, the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, no remission of sins. You got a lot of good religions down here. When I see a lot of good religions down here because they're good for nothing. Without Jesus, you ain't going to heaven. It's pretty simple. God gave a record of His Son, and here's the record He gave. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. The wrath of God abideth upon him. Well, God in this story here we're reading about, He's very gracious. He comes to Cain, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? In other words, why are you mad? Why is thy countenance fallen? You know, that's a loving Savior. You know, if you really care about somebody, you'll come to them, try to comfort them. You'll say, all right, it'll be all right. We'll get through this. Don't worry about it. It'll be better tomorrow. You'll try to comfort them. Wherever the Lord is, He's the one that sought out Abel in his sin and Eve. And here He is seeking out Cain. Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Verse 7 is real important here. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? This is a warning. Now, God's already comforting Cain by coming to him. But in his statement right here, we see the warning that God gives Cain. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. You'll be a slave of sin if you let sin in your life. If you let it in your home, you'll be a slave to it. He said, and unto thee shall be his desire. Sin will make a, Bible says fools make a mock of sin. Sin will make a mess of you. The Bible says give no place to the devil. You take the devil a little bit of sin and your faith will end up being shipwrecked. If you're a child of God, you'll be like the prodigal son. You'll be in the far country. But this is a warning to Cain. Like I said, in love, God comes to him. Why are you mad, Cain? Why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, God's warning him here, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You know, sin, it will not only slave you, enslave you, but it'll also make you think that you can handle it. The Bible says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? I'm just telling you, you can't handle sin. Nobody ever has been able to handle sin but Jesus. He conquered it at Calvary. He took all the things wrote against us and nailed them to his cross. I'm telling you, he conquered sin. The Bible said he took his body through death to destroy him, had the power of death, that is the devil. And he conquered sin and the devil and the grave and hell. He said, behold, I'm he that was dead. I'm alive forevermore and got the keys of death and hell in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Now God has come to Cain and God has warned Cain. Now I said we're talking not about underestimating God. That was a good warning. That was good of the Lord to come to Cain and try to reason with him. But look here at verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now we'll read some more here in a minute here. But we're talking about underestimating God. Cain underestimated God. When I say he underestimated God, you look down at verse 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He wasn't expecting to get under such condemnation. He wasn't expecting the judgment of God upon him. He thought, you know, I'm mad. I've seen kids get mad and they fight and they get over it and all that stuff. Well, Cain, a little bit different about Cain. Bible says a lot about Cain. I just throw a couple things here. In Jude, verse 11. Jude, just one book. Just one chapter book. But in Jude, verse 11, it says, woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain. Ain't that something? God makes Cain's sin You know, he gives it a name, in the way of Cain. Cain went the wrong way. And it tells us what it, not only his way, but what he did there in 1 John chapter 3. Just a few pages over there. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, slew his brother. It even tells us why he killed his brother. Wherewith slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. You know what? The verse in front of that, verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Cain didn't love his brother Abel. Cain loved Cain. And Cain didn't want to be, I guess, second fiddle. And he done the unthinkable. But he also underestimated God. And when he rose up and slew his brother, God confirmed him, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, you know what? Everybody that's ever killed anybody, and I've never killed nobody, I've never even had a desire to kill nobody. Ten Commandments was still on the school wall when I was in school. And one of them was pretty simple. Thou shalt not kill. That's pretty simple. Four words right there. And I haven't killed nobody because I know God said I'm not supposed to. Thou shalt not kill. There's another easy one on there. Thou shalt not steal. You know, we got the break. What they got now, smash and grab now. Thou shalt not steal. That was on there when I was in school. And I learned that lesson. I made a lot of mistakes. I sure did. I didn't keep them commandments. But I'll tell you one thing. They's in my mind, in my heart. And I knew better. There was a time I did do some shoplifting. I got caught. I'm glad I got caught. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. But I never did ever kill nobody. But anybody that does kill somebody, first thing they want to do is they want to try to hide what they done. Now, they don't really, you know, Cain, he underestimated the consequences of his doings. And when he killed his brother Abel, he was confronted by the Lord. The next verse, the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? I think he may have hid him. May have dug a shallow grave. I don't know. And he said, and he's lying here, and he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now he may not have been his brother's keeper, but he was his brother's killer. And God knew it. When I'm talking about underestimating God, Cain didn't really think about the consequences of his actions, and he killed his brother Abel. Now, one thing I will say about Cain, he didn't have the Ten Commandments. But what he done was wrong. God confirmed him about it. And then God went on to say in verse 10, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. You can find that in, I think it's in Hebrews. I think it's in chapter 11 here. Hold on just a second here. God gave a statement about, here it is, verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he also obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And I wanted to bring that out. God said to Cain, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. You know, I've heard people say, you know, it haunts me. Some things I've done haunt me. And I'm having trouble living with what I've done. Well, Cain here, like I said, he underestimates God in his actions here. He kills his brother. Now he's confronted about it. Then he hears Now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Now he's accused of being a murderer, and now he's cursed. Verse 11 there. In verse 12, when thou tillest the ground, see Cain, he's a tiller of the ground. Verse number 2 of chapter 4. So God here says, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Not only that, God says, a fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. All of these are consequences that Cain's going through because he underestimated God. Thought, you know, a lot of people think, you know, God's never going to know this. Nobody, Moses, when he killed that Egyptian, he looked this way and that way and then killed that Egyptian. And then he found out everybody knew about it and he ran. Well, a lot of people like Cain, they've done things hoping nobody find out about it. God knows everything. And here you got a curse. Now you've got the ground's not going to give its strength. You're going to be a fugitive and a vagabond. Shall thou be in the earth? And Cain says unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You know, people in prison, they think, you know, that their sentence is too harsh. Shouldn't be that long, shouldn't be that hard, their sentence, you know. Well, Cain here, he says, my punishment's greater than I can bear. He underestimated the consequences there. He got a warning. He didn't heed that warning. But he pictures a lot of people. When it says there in Jude chapter 11 about going the way of Cain, a lot of people are going that way today. There are people today taking the same path that Cain took. It says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. There's people out there bound and determined that they're going to get what they want by any means. They're stealing, they're breaking in, they're killing, they're robbing, all of that. Going the way of Cain. Cain was going to have his way or else. And, you know, the judgment of God is the reason I don't do those things. And it'll be a reason if you're not doing it too. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talking to the church at Corinth, and he talks about judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And then Paul here gives this outstanding statement, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. He said, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. I'm telling you, that judgment seat where God's going to bring everything out. Best thing to do is get it under the blood. Best thing to do is find a place of repentance. Say, Lord, I did it. I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. Bible says we'll confess it. He'll be faithful and just forgive it. Remember it no more against us. If you don't, it's going to be brought out at the judgment seat. Now Paul here again talking about judgment in Acts chapter 24. He's talking to a governor named Felix. It says after certain days in Acts 24:24. After certain days when Felix, he's a governor, came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And Paul here, as he's talking to Felix about the faith, he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." Felix wasn't thinking how fearful it could be of the conversation he's having with Paul. And here he is, he's the governor, Paul's the prisoner. And as Paul, the prisoner, talks about judgment to come, Felix trembled. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. Don't go the way of Cain. Cain's got a bad context in the Bible. The Bible says he was of that wicked one in 1 John chapter number 3. And I don't really understand that terminology, and I'm sure not going to try to put my two cents on it. But it said he was of that wicked one. That means I think he gave place to the devil. Says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. I think that meant that he just decided he was going to go the devil's way instead of God's way when God told him, sin lies at the door. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, I think that was a turning point for Cain. I think he decided, hey, I'm going to go this other way. Well, he was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And the reason he slew his brother because his works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. Cain got a bad reputation. He got a bad context in the Bible. The Bible says, woe unto them that go the way of Cain. And here he is. And he underestimated that God would confront him, that God would condemn him, that God would give consequences to his actions. The reason I'm talking about Cain underestimating God, there's a lot of people out there right now going the way of Cain. There's a lot of people out right now trying to beat the system. You know, there's a right way and a wrong way. And God told Cain, he said, if you do right, shall you not be accepted? And if not, God said, sin lies at the door. You know, there's a world of people out there just like Cain, making bad decisions. Listen, one day, let me show you the problem of making bad decisions. Look in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. All of you out there, you know you've been doing wrong. You know one day you're going to answer for it. Well, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, it says, he that being often reproved, that's what God did with Cain, he reproved him. Hardeneth his neck, that means you don't want to hear the reproof. You turn your head, put your finger in your ears, shall suddenly be destroyed, that without remedy. That means doctors ain't going to be able to help you. That means the medicine ain't going to work. That means all of the efforts you put forth ain't going to work. It's going to be a sad commentary. Suddenly destroyed, that without remedy. You know, God reproved Cain, reasoned with him, told him, he said, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? All Cain had to do was say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to do right. But Cain decided he wasn't going to go God's way. And he yielded to that wicked one. The Bible said Cain was of that wicked one. God said, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. Cain became wicked because he wouldn't let God help him. And there's a lot of Cains out there today. There's a lot of them out there today, and they'll blame everybody but their own self. And one day, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. One day, this will be a reality. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon, the wisest man that ever was, gave these words of wisdom. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now the next verse tells you why. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Don't underestimate God, friend. There'll be a day that your steps down here will stop. There'll be a day that you'll meet God. You'll stand before your Creator. Let me see if I can find this verse right here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul speaking to a young preacher, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Quick and dead means living and dead. They're going to stand before him. He's going to judge them. And I want you to know, buddy, he's ready to judge too. When Paul mentioned there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he's done, whether it be good or bad. Well, I'll tell you, I don't underestimate God. Let me give you my advice. 1 John chapter 1. Here's my advice to you. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. Next chapter, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, and there are men that do sin, I'm one of them. We all do. Solomon said, there's no man that sinneth not. None good, no, not one. He says, if any man sin, we have an advocate, that's like a lawyer, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins. And not only for ours, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, God has got the help you need in the matter of sin. Cain could have took that help. He turned it down. He didn't take that help. My advice is also in 1 John chapter 1. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him, verse 6, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his Son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, verse 8, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Don't underestimate God like Cain did. Don't be confronted by God like Cain was. Don't be condemned by God like Cain was. The Bible tells us there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And the reason there's no condemnation is because God has put our sins under his blood. And you know what? He cleansed us from our sins. And we're not guilty no more. Thank God for that no condemnation. There was a time I had condemnation. But after April 27th, 1988, my condemnation left. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'll tell you, it's good not to have no condemnation. But if you do have any condemnation, take it to Jesus. He said, come unto me. Let us reason together in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. Hey, he's a friend of sinners. He bids you come to him. And he said also, if you don't come to him, John chapter 5, verse 40, he said, you will not come to me that you may have life. I'm telling you, he's there for you. He will forgive you. He loves you. But Cain decided he'd go the way of the world. And the Bible says not to go the way of Cain. Woe unto them that go the way of Cain. Said Cain was of that wicked one. Cain underestimated God, and he's not alone. There's a world of people out there right now. Man, they're sleeping around. They're stealing things in the middle of the night. That boy took that shot at President Trump. Big mistake. Thou shalt not kill. He killed a man. Wounded two more. Almost killed the president. Why did he do that? Went the way of Cain. gave place to the devil. Ephesians chapter 4 says give no place to the devil. That's what a lot of people do. They give place to the devil, and the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said in John chapter 10, find it here in a second. Maybe it ain't four. Let me go on back here a little bit. Well, there's another one in time, but I can't find the verse, but the Bible tells us not to give no place to the devil. And that's what Cain did. And there's a lot of people out there that are doing the same thing that Cain did. And let me say this to those people. You're underestimating God. And just like Proverbs 29 verse 1 says, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There'll be a day that you'll not only underestimate God, but you'll stand before God and give an account. In one of the saddest places in the Bible is in Revelation chapter 20. Here's a whole bunch of Cains. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That's what Cain had to do. He had to stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. God has records. The book of Malachi says a book of remembrance was written. There's books written. And all those things that you've done have been recorded. Best thing you can do, get them to Calvary. Get them under blood. Get them blotted out. Never be remembered no more against you. But all of you Cains out there, you're going to stand before God. The books are going to be open. It's going to be embarrassing. You're going to wish nobody knew all the things that you did. And it said, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. Oh my. Boy, these people now, they get a good lawyer, if they can get out anything, you won't get one out here. They were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which are in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. It's the second death, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Don't underestimate God. He's going to bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We've done our best tonight to try to convey to you the thought, do right. And listen, if you do mess up, do something about it. I go to God and I say, Lord, I need you to forgive me my sins. I need you to wash and cleanse me from my sins. I need you to deliver me even today from evil and temptation. I need you to lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. I need you to set a guard over my eyes that they don't look where they don't need to look, and over my feet that they don't go in the direction they don't need to go. Ask for help. Ask the Lord to help you. You can be a blessing if you just realize God is your friend.
Amen.
And He wants to help you. He said plainly, have not because you ask not. Father, we thank you for the thought tonight. And Lord, Cain's a good subject. Lord, a lot of Cains today. Lord, we see them in the Antifa. We see them, Father. Lord, in this undercover stuff, Lord, that they're going to be exposed one day. And Lord, they're going to be guilty one day when they stand before God. Lord, the secret things that they've done going to be found out. Lord, we just pray, dear God, you'd help us, Lord, to walk before you in the beauty of holiness. Help us to be a blessing, not a burden. Your word says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Not only order them, Lord, help us to walk in them. Lord, we thank you and praise you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Like I said, we're talking about underestimating God. And Cain underestimated God. And he said, my punishment's greater than I can bear. That's how you know when you've underestimated God. Amen. He didn't think it'd be that bad.